that these things are going to happen, that these things are going to line up, or whatever it is. And you may have all your logical reasoning that would be like, I need that and that and that and that and that to all take place. God's like, no, we'll go through the ceiling. It's all right. We don't need to do what you think we need to do. We've got a different route in. Yeah, or whatever it is. But God's got a way through. Situations can appear huge. They can appear overwhelming, difficult to see through. But if we look through God's eyes and not through natural eyes, then we get a completely different view on it. I don't know if, can you, is it just not working? No? If you can get to the stuff in Genesis, that'd be ace. If not, don't worry about it. No? I mean, that's just great on its own. Just keep looking at that, you know? You just have to trust me that this stuff's really in the Bible at this point, okay? Okay, so there's a little thing which is worth bringing out here, where Abraham, as he was at the time, before this was Abraham, it's a fantastic message on faith, in the sense of how Abraham grows in his faith, where nothing's going right for him at this point. And he says this: the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. This is in the Bible. Unfortunately, it's Genesis something. It would have been on there. It's 13. Wow, that is impressive. In another bit, he talks about him, and he visits him on another time, and he says, then he brought him outside, this is at night time now, and says, look now towards heaven and count the stars if you are able to count them. And he said to them, so shall your descendants be. So, first of all, where was Abraham living in those days? Do you know? Sorry? Pretty good, very good. We're very good here with your Bible knowledge. I like that. Now, what would be? Would it be roads outside? Would it be tarmac? What would be? What would he be walking on? Sand. All right, very much, very good. Sand. So all day long, he's surrounded by sand. Everywhere he goes, he's seeing sand. Are we happy with that? And then the sun goes down, and then it goes to night time, and what's he seeing? Stars. The light pollution in those days were pretty poor. I mean, you had some good sun. Yeah, you could see quite a lot of stars. So as far as we're going, every day he's seeing the sand. Every night he's seeing stars. So all the time, his eyes are lifted to the, you know, to the skies, and to God's promise. He's reminded every day and every night of God's promise. Now, naturally, he's not seeing it. Naturally, nothing's happening. For years and years and years, nothing's actually happening. He's not getting any more descendants. But he's reminded every single day that God has said this is going to happen. So his eyes are constantly focused on the supernatural. His eyes are constantly focused on what God said is going to happen. His eyes are constantly focused on that there in itself. So what we focus on and what we pay attention to is what will affect our belief. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah? What we pay attention to, what we focus our eyes on, is what is going to make all the difference in the world to what we believe in. Fix our eyes on the natural, and we become discouraged very, very quickly because of the impossibility that you see right now. Yep. If all you do is look at whatever it is that you're going through right now, whether it's your bank balance, whether it's the people around you that are really not in a great place, whatever the situation is, you're going to become discouraged pretty quickly, yeah, in the situations that you find. But if we look at the promises of God, if we look at the things that he has stated, if we look at the Bible, if we look at the Word, if we look at Jesus, then we'll get encouraged because our faith is built up, and you'll start to expect change, and you'll start to see his kingdom come, and you'll start to see his will be done in your lives more and more and more and more and more. When I ran the youth group a few years ago, there was a girl in it, and she called herself a Christian, but you know, she really did act like one. And after a while, it's very easy to start thinking, I may as well just give up here. And I was, in all honesty, I was thinking, look, this is just not working with this one at all. She's more like a non-Christian than the non-Christians in the way that she's in the way that she's acting. And so, you know, we've got this, she comes to Christian youth, she comes to the youth group, the church youth group, but she, you know, it's really not going anywhere for her. And I gave up with her, I'll be honest with you. My heart was not for her at all, because I was thinking, this is really not, you know, she's not showing any signs of outward change at all. Where's this really leading to? And I remember God challenging me hugely with her and saying, you need to see her the way I see her. You need to look at that girl the way I look at that girl. You need to see her as worshipping in church. You need to see her as being in a place where she's building my kingdom, where she's really advancing in the things of me, where she's got a solid relationship with me. See her as I see her, with eyes of faith. See her like that. So after that nice rebuke, I did. I said, all right, let's start praying for them. Let's start looking at it like that. Let's start praying those things into being. And after a few years, she was leading worship in church. Now, God already knew that that was possible. You with me? God already knew that those things were, and he already had those intentions for her. But it requires people, other people, to believe. It requires other people to start to hold on to those things. Because if everyone just gives up and says they're not worth it, then they'll just fall through the net, won't they? They'll just leave. And so it's by holding on to those promises, it's by praying, it's by looking at people the way God sees them, that it makes such a huge, huge difference to them in their own walk with God. Her life changed round completely, and she had and started to build a really solid relationship with God, where church became so much more important to her. And it's vital that, I mean, that's just one example, but it's vital that we start to believe for the things that we know God wants to happen, because they don't just happen. We sometimes think, well, if God wants it to happen, it'll happen, but that's fate. It's not faith. Yeah? And it's different. If we weren't having to pray for people, then the middle of the Lord's Prayer wouldn't be, let your kingdom come and your will be done. Yeah? If God's will was always being done, then he wouldn't have put that in the middle of the prayer, would he? Because there'd be no point. It would always be being done. But it isn't, is it? I mean, you've only got to look at the news to show that, that God's will is not always being done. So we've got a major role with every single person that you come into contact with to say that, well, hang on a minute, we've got to see things as God wants them to be and pray those things into being. Every single one of us can make a major, major difference in the things that happen. I mean, that was just one example of that one girl. But it's a useful one, a very useful one. The third lie, if you like, is that I'm not good enough to be listened to for God to move in my life. Yeah? Do you ever feel like that? That I've not been righteous enough. I'm not holy enough. My prayers won't count enough. Or whatever it is. It's a bit like Father Christmas, that one. The Father Christmas doctrine. If you've been good enough, you'll get more treats at Christmas time. Yeah? You know, it's easy to believe. I mean, certainly I didn't ask for many favours off my parents when I'd been a naughty boy. You don't, do you? You don't go there. If you've been a naughty boy, you don't go to your mum and dad and say, is it all right if I have an extra chocolate now, please? You know? And I you know, my mum would say to me stuff like, I'm not angry, just disappointed. Which was a complete lie, because she was angry as well. But you get the idea, yeah? It is that kind of thing where you just... sorry about this, she's going nuts, this woman. She would be like that. And you learn that from your parents very quickly, that you don't ask for much when they're in a bad mood with you, you know? And we get the same with God sometimes. It is that kind of thing where we don't pray so much if we think we've upset him. We don't pray so much if we think that we've not been a good Christian. We've not done what we're supposed to have done, whatever that is, and whatever your rules are for being a good Christian, whether it's praying loads or reading the Bible loads or whatever you have decided are the rules. And we can have a look at this again and again and again. But James 5 verse 16 says this, which is really interesting. It says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I'll say that again. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, which begs the question, are you righteous? Are you? Now you're all looking a bit like, oh, what's he going to do? Is he going to come in with a left hook on this one? You are righteous, aren't you?
Yes.
Are you washed in the blood of Jesus? Yeah? Well, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're not, then, you know, we'll talk about that later. But have you become, if you've decided to let Jesus be your Lord and Savior, if you believe his death on the cross, if you believe that that's the sacrifice for your sins, if you believe that that's the thing there, that sacrifice on the cross has taken you, he's paid the price for your sins, then effectively, according to Romans, you are righteous. You are standing there in righteousness. All right? That's good, isn't it? Which means that nothing can hinder your prayers, because the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. And you're standing there dressed in Jesus' righteousness. Every time you go to pray, God sees Jesus' righteousness. He doesn't see your deeds. He's not going to answer our prayers based on whether you're good or not. He's going to answer your prayers based on whether Jesus was good or not. And was Jesus good? I reckon he was. I'm going to put my money on that one rather than on me. Anyway, I don't know about you. Yeah, so that's what he sees. He looks at that and he goes, Jesus is righteous. Let's stop answering those prayers. And that's what happens with these things. We don't need to start thinking, oh man, I've not been a good enough Christian today, or I've not been doing this right, I've not been there. Because we can approach God with confidence. All right? We can come to God and in that confidence and know that he is the one that makes us righteous. He is the one that takes away the sin. He is the one that takes away all of the rubbish that stands between him and him. And we've got that free access to be able to pray. And so we come to a point now where we've dealt with a few of the lies. I've not, you know, had time to deal with all of them. But if we get to verse 5, it says the following. This is Mark 2, verse 5. It says, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when he had when they had broken through, and I'll pause on this bit, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, is what it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Now, if you don't believe me, that's in every version of any Bible you're going to read, and you can look it up, Mark 2 verse 5. It doesn't say when he saw his faith, when he saw the paralytic's faith, it says when he saw their faith. Alright? Now that is really, really key. Because what it means is that our faith can move in God, our faith in God can move other people's mountains. Yeah? You don't have to just have faith yourself to move your mountains. Yep, our faith in God can move other people's mountains that you know. Can bring other people to Jesus. Can see them restored. Can see them healed. Can see them made whole. Can see people return to God. There are people in your life right now that you are carrying to Jesus, just like that man was. Yep. You with me in the story? There is lots and lots of people that you would really love to see sorted out, like Jesus would sort them out, you know. And I don't mean in a horrible way, in a nice way. But you know what I'm saying? And we can carry them to Jesus. We can carry them there because it's our faith that takes them there. Does that make sense? That's the whole message in Mark 2, really, is that his friends took him there. The paralyzed man was totally and utterly reliant on his friends. There was nothing he could do. He couldn't get up and walk to Jesus himself for his healing. Does that make sense? He couldn't, could he? The only way he could get to Jesus was that if he had some friends that thought and believed that Jesus could do the job. And you were those friends. And I am those friends. And that is a massive, massive part of that. Without their faith in God, without their perseverance, he wouldn't have met with Jesus. He wouldn't have been forgiven and he wouldn't have been healed. Without their faith in God, without their perseverance, the paralytic would never have been healed and would never have been forgiven. That's scary, isn't it? A little bit. Because that wasn't the circuit that Jesus wasn't just going around going, yeah, we'll go there, we'll go there, we'll go there. He was basically going where he was being sent to go, and they had to get him there. And if they didn't get him there, then he wasn't getting what he needed. And that's God's big plan, the church, that you take people to Jesus. We all take people to Jesus. There's people in our lives also, they may be completely unaware today that they are reliant on us to believe for their connection. But we are all essential to other people coming to connect with Jesus, every single one of us. And so it's important, it's absolutely important that we know that there is some faith in us. There is, whatever, even if it's just faith as a mustard seed, doesn't matter. It's faith in God. It's not your faith. You don't have a special type of faith to make this happen. All right? It's just, you know, it's just Jesus. It's Jesus that does it. It's not your faith. It's Jesus that makes all the difference. And it's us taking him, taking those people to him, praying and speaking over them, whatever it is that does those things bit by bit by bit along the way to the journey of how it goes. Now, if this message has resonated with you today, if there is somebody that you want to make a difference, so if today you want to make the day you start or restart believing for somebody's breakthrough, all right? So if this is something today where you're thinking, you know what, I really want to see a specific person in my life, it could be someone really close to you, it could be a friend, it could be a family, it could be a colleague, somebody within that you want to see breakthrough, you want to see their lives connected with Jesus, you want to see them reconnected perhaps because they've fallen away, if you want to see them saved, you want to see them healed, you want to see marriages restored, whatever it was, or is. It could be for your own life, or it could be for somebody that you know. But if that's the case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray in a minute. I'm going to ask you to stand up. And this might be a bit alien for you in a preacher, I don't know. But I want to pray for people that this is something today where you're thinking, yeah, do you know what? I'm going to make a stand. Just as if you're standing up right now and you're going to lift that friend like the friend on the paralyzed mat, if you like, was needed to be lifted. And we'll start today. We'll start believing today as a congregation for that people or those people to be brought back to Jesus, or maybe for the first time, and for them to get a touch of Jesus, for them to get a connection with Jesus, to get a connection for the very first time perhaps, or a reconnection. And it may be the first step of the journey, it may be the 99th step of the journey, we don't know. But every step counts towards getting into them, getting them to Jesus. So if you want me to pray for you now, just stand up. I'm not going to wander around. I'll just pray over you now. And we'll commit what God wants to do now to him. Okay? And if you don't want to, you can stay sat down, and that's fine. Okay, so if you, at this point now, want to stand, and I'll pray for those that are standing up. That'll be fantastic. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're good. Thank you, Lord God. God, before we even start praying for these wonderful people, I just thank you that you desire to connect with them more than they know. Lord God, there are people standing in this room right now and they feel passionately about the people that they want to see reconnecting with you or connecting with you, Lord God. There are people, Lord Jesus, that they're carrying in their hearts right now. There are people that they're carrying, Lord Jesus, and they've been carrying them maybe for months, for years on some cases, Lord God. And I can sense right now there's a lot of hurt in a lot of hearts for those particular people to connect with you, for salvations, for restorations, for reconnection with you. But Lord God, I just thank you that your heart is even more passionate than theirs is. Lord God, that you desire to see breakthrough in their lives more than anybody on this planet. That you are the one that will make this happen. And Lord Jesus, as we look to you right now, we pray that you'll re-energize in this room every single person that desires, every single person that has stood up, Lord God, today. You'll re-energize their faith. You'll re-energize their belief in you, Lord God, to see these things happen, Lord God. Where they may have given up on their dreams, Lord God, that you'll just reignite dreams. Where they're wondering why the prayers still haven't been answered, Lord God, that you will just reinstall hope, Lord God. I just pray for a resurrection of hope in people's hearts right now. That people will realize that you are on side with us, Lord God, that you are desiring to move, that your kingdom is to be built by faith and by perseverance, Lord Jesus. We ask, Lord God, for every single person here right now, this day will be a day where they can come back to and just build and build and build and build and build. Lord God, you are good. There is nobody like you. Your love endures forever and ever and ever. You are the shepherd that keeps on searching. And we pray, Lord God, that you will connect with every single one of the people that are represented by those that are standing right now, Lord God. Every single person who is standing right now, they're carrying people in their hearts. And I ask, Lord God, for every single person that way, we lift them to you. And we ask, Lord God, that you will pour your spirit deep into their hearts, that you will soften hearts, you will soften their hearts, and that you will remind them of your truth. You will speak your truths tenderly to them, Lord God. Set them free and bring them into your kingdom. Or restore them to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, cool.
Strengthens me. Lead me, take me ever deeper. Show me all the riches of this mystery. Christ in me, my hope and my glory, my certainty. Surrendered in worship to my God and King. Jesus, you're the holy promise. Poured your blood out for us, rose again to life. All my sins are now forgiven, and my life is hidden, saved through Jesus Christ. My heart bows down. So
Please be seated.